Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Lemonade Podcast. This is your host, Stephanie, and I'm here because I was trying to watch the BET Awards. Why? Because, you know, it's just a thing to do to live tweet, but I'm exhausted. Like, I can't anymore. Hopefully, I don't miss SZA's performance while recording, but if I do, that's what YouTube is for. So, if you guys are watching, or you did watch, because by the time this uploaded, the awards would have already passed. Hopefully, I didn't miss anything hilarious and some gold to tweet, but if I did, it's fine. But I'm here. Last weekend, I attended HeroesCon, and I just wanted to share with you guys that it was great. It was really fun. I actually ended up winning free passes to HeroesCon, which was pretty cool. So that was 3-day passes, although I only used it for Saturday and Sunday. I really honestly thought about going to HeroesCon after work, but I was tired. It was a long week last week. But I finally met Miss Regine Sawyer of Lock It Down Productions and writer of Eating Vampires and Ice Witch and also The Rippers. And that was really fun. And Regine is a lovely person. And it was really fun to hang out with her and finally meet her in the flesh. So that was one of the many highlights of my weekend. I also met Kari Randolph, which is pretty cool. He's an artist, and you might be familiar with his work if you are a fan of Marvel books and you happen to pick up Mosaic. Actually, he was the only reason why I even bothered to pick up Mosaic, because I really enjoy his artwork and was just, you know, one of the reasons, but unfortunately not a good enough reason for me to keep reading that title. But it was really nice and cool to, you know, meet him. And also met Sean Pryor. And unfortunately, I didn't bring my copy of Force, which actually came the day before I actually went to HeroesCon. So next time. I finally met Kelly Sue DeConnick, which was also another highlight to my HeroesCon adventure. And was all giddy and ready to meet her, and was really surprised to know that she actually knew who I was. It was like, yeah, Misty Knight's Unformed Afro. So she said how much she loved that name of the show, and that was really cool and my kind of fangirl moment of the day. So Kelly was amazing, and it was actually really fun to learn at the Milk Fed panel that I went to, where before that, I met Sabrina, who you might know her on Twitter as @RealAfterglow, who was amazing. And it was really fun to kind of hang out with her and go to the Milk Fed panel, which pretty much consisted of Kelly Sue DeConnick, Matt Fraction, Chip Zdarsky's, and two other women who, you know, work for Milk Fed. And they talked about the comics that they have coming up. I think Adventure Man is one of them that is coming out from Matt Fraction. I'm actually looking forward to reading that because it looked pretty cool when they were just talking about it. And to learn that in the meantime, before Bitch Planet picks back up right now, there are monthly issues coming out, but they are like, I guess I would consider them anthologies. But there are like three features per book, and they feature artists, and mainly artists of color and writers of color, which I read the first one and it was really good. So I'm looking forward to buying those each month, and they've been like really, really good. So that was really cool to learn. And speaking of panels, I actually went to another panel. I went to the Motor Crush panel on Saturday as well, and that was a pretty cool panel that consisted of all of the creators on Motor Crush. So that consisted of, yeah, so that panel consisted of Babs Tarr, who is an artist, Cameron Stewart, Brendan Fletcher. Yes, before going in, I knew they were all white. And actually, when I was in the panel, I did a little look around. I was like, wow, why the hell am I the only black woman in here? There were some black guys in there too, but I was like, why am I the only black woman in here? And this character is a queer black woman. So, yeah, So I've been going, I don't know, after leaving that panel, I felt a kind of way, not even necessarily a negative way, but just really kind of thinking about some things, but what I will say about the panel is that it was very interesting to know and get to know how they came about creating Motor Crush and the inspirations and all of that jazz. And I believe it was Brendan Fletcher who said that, you know, the reason why Domino is a queer Black woman is pretty much because, you know, they didn't want to add to a universe as far as comics go with more cishet white guys or straight white guys, as he said. So with that being said, I thought it was genuine, and I was, you know, kind of nodding my head, and I was like, okay, cool. But like, I like Motor Crush. I do. I think the world is interesting. I think Domino is an interesting character, and everyone else that's in the world. And I want to know what's going to happen in this second story arc. But I guess I can get to it a little bit later. I'll put a pin in it right now. But yeah, that was just something I was just like, huh, only Black woman here. That's interesting. So I don't know if that's because, you know, Black women aren't reading Motor Crush, or Black women don't know about Motor Crush, or just happenstance, and there just happened to be no other Black woman there except for me. But it was just something I was just like, all right, well, that's interesting. So I also met Aletha Martinez. You might know her artwork from recently, World of Wakanda. So it was really awesome to meet her. I also met Jack Kaplan. He is the writer of a comic called Eclipse that is by Image Comics that I really like because it's sci-fi shit, to put it plain and simple. I think you guys have heard me talk about it before, but it's just basically something happened with the sun. You can't go outside during the day or the sun will pretty much burn you alive. So that is the world, and so far, so good. Like I said, I like sci-fi stuff. So it's a title that I do read on a regular basis. And I was actually able to pick up issue 8 at the time, which had not been out yet. It was coming out that following Wednesday. So that was nice to get that ahead of time. See what happens when you go to cons. Sometimes you get to read books a little bit earlier than their release. My super, 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 super highlight was finally finding The Amazing Spider-Man Annuals number 16, which is Monica Rambeau's first appearance. I spent probably a good 2.5 hours digging through crates, trying to find this comic. And then finally, like the last vendor I went to where everything, all the boxes thankfully were on the counter and of standing level where I didn't have to kneel down and bend down, which I had been doing, going through them and found it. And I did post it on Twitter. I was so excited. And the sticker price says $12, but I did not pay $12. I actually got it for $7 because the guy said he had seen me, I guess, furiously looking for it at other vendors or looking for something. So that was what I was looking for. So he gave it to me for $7, which I would have paid the $12, to be honest. Probably would pay a little bit too much, but whatever. That was just something I've been looking for a little while, and I didn't want to just simply order it on Amazon. I just thought it would be, I don't know, worth searching and trying to find the quote-unquote old-fashioned way. So that was really fun and my little highlight. So HeroesCon 2017, in a nutshell, was so much fun. Met so many great people, and I can't wait to go HeroesCon 2018. So I am really, really looking forward to it. It's a smaller con, but it's a smaller con that focuses on comics and the artists, and that right there to me is, I really appreciate that, and I love that because you get to meet a lot of these writers and a lot of these artists on a lot of comics that you might read, indie, Marvel, or DC, and I like that it's centered around them and just, you know, not the other stuff. It's not a San Diego, it's not a Dragon Con, you know, but it's a comic con. I mean, it's literally a comic con that focuses on comics. So HeroesCon 2018 or 2017, a stark difference from my 2016 experience. So yeah, I'm I'm looking forward to going to Heroes Con 2018. If you guys are in the Charlotte area next year, I believe it's again June 17th through the 19th or something like that. You can go to heroesonline.com to get more information on that. But if you're in the Charlotte area, you should check it out. It's definitely worth your dollars. It's not that expensive. A $50 three-day pass is actually pretty reasonable. And if you do one day, I think it's $25 for Friday and Saturday and $20 for Sunday. So it's more of the cheaper side as far as cons are concerned, because, you know, y'all know they can get pretty expensive. I think Dragon Con is, what, $50 for one day or something like that? So, and I think New York Comic Con is about the same, if not more. So, and San Diego, God knows how much. I haven't even bothered to look, because I'm like, I'll wait until, I need to look soon, because I plan on going to San Diego Comic Con next year, hopefully with a press pass. So, we'll see. Fingers crossed on that one. But yeah, that was Heroes Con. So this week, or the past 2 weeks since the last time I talked to you guys, I had Miss Joy on Jump for Joy, and we talked about Wonder Woman and also Black Panther. And that episode actually has been the most listened to episode I've had so far, which I'm pretty sure is because of Wonder Woman and Black Panther. But I just want to thank all of you all that listened to that episode. And if you happen to still be listening, thank you. I hope that it's more of a, I just want to hear stuff talk and not a hate listen, but either way, a listen is a listen. So thank you for sticking with the podcast. But on the comic side, really, not a lot going on. I started reading Sex Criminals and I'm loving it. Like, I know I'm really late to the game on that one, but I read Pretty Deadly, enjoyed it. Of course, you know, I read Bitch Planet, enjoy it. And Sex Criminals is different and I'm enjoying it. Actually, the other day I was trying to read it on my iPad, but I was out in public and I forgot. So Sex Criminals, probably not something you want to read out and about. Maybe read it at home, because the artwork, it's Sex Criminals. I mean, I don't know what else to say to y'all, but I like it. And Sex Criminals is by Matt Fraction and art is by Chip Zdarsky. So, and who is writing a Spider-Man book right now for Marvel. So I might, I might check it out. That's a huge might, but I might check it out. Marvel Legacy, I honestly didn't really look into it because I just didn't want to annoy myself. But I did see that they're bringing War Machine back and they're giving it to Punisher, a white vigilante. So y'all killed James Rhodes for the progression of a white character. Instead of giving it to Leela, his niece, you give it to the Punisher. Okay. And didn't they say something about that, how they're gonna change the game and revolutionize? Like, y'all are being super revolutionary giving the War Machine mantle to Punisher. Real revolutionary. Great job, Marvel. And I don't know if you all have seen this going on the timeline, but, you know, Nubia, a lot of people are talking about Nubia, and they might be talking about Nubia because of the Wonder Woman movie. And if that's the case, then that's great. Because you know what? There is no one role to learning and getting interested in a character. Everybody comes to their interest in a character by many different means. So if you're just now remembering that there's a Nubia, because I don't blame you, because DC, exactly. So but anyways, there's been a lot of talk of Nubia, which is good. That's great in my opinion. And if you want to check out a really great thread, Edgermaine Design has a really great thread on Nubia and her, I don't even know what I want to call it. Like, it's confusing at one point. She disappears, come back. Look, Nubia is probably one of one of the characters that we're going to be covering in Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro, who has legit gave me a headache while trying to just piece together all the issues that she's been in or hasn't been in, and just getting her whole thing together. So anyways, he has a really great thread kind of going through that history, and he's been campaigning for a Wonder Woman animated series, which I'm here for, and I'm definitely here for it if it's going to also bring Nubia into the fold and just really give her a chance to, you know, get that together, basically. And he and Tyler accordingly, and I hope I'm saying the last name correctly, please forgive me, Tyler, if I did not. They've had some really great threads and a lot of back and some artwork that's featured Nubia and other Amazons. So I'm, again, for the umpteenth time, I'm here for it. So check out either one of them. And speaking of the Amazons, Odyssey of the Amazons, which is a series that I haven't talked about because I really honestly forgot that was even a series that I had picked up. Actually, Joseph Illich had tweeted about it, I think, earlier this week. And it's a series about the Amazons that is written by Kevin Gureau. Now, that name Kevin Gureau sounds familiar. That's because this is the man who brought us Underworld and I, Frankenstein. And I say that with the littlest bit of shade in my voice. But he's writing Odyssey of the Amazons. And if you're familiar with Underworld and also I, Frankenstein, Odyssey of the Amazons is, it's not far off. And Kevin Gureau, was he involved with that movie Steel in any kind of way? I probably should have did my Googles, but I almost felt like he was. But I'm really not sure on that. Do not quote me. I'm not sure. But it feels as though he might have been involved with that production. But anyway, he's writing Odyssey of the Amazon, and the artwork is being done by Ryan Benjamin. So Odyssey of the Amazons features a couple of Black women, a few Black women characters. So, yeah. It's DC, so Black women writers and barely artists really don't exist with them. I really kind of don't need you to at me with the two or three that you can find, because I'm pretty sure I'm aware of them as well. And that also does, if anything, that just really proves my point. So actually, if you want to do that, go ahead. But no Black women or Black women artists, or they weren't available at all. Because to me, it's just like, because it's DC and I'm just thinking of how they may operate and how they may think, you know, it's just like, well, two Black men, they can write for Black women. Same thing. It's really not the same thing. But I mean, that's the direction they went in. So I'm not telling you not to check out Odyssey of the Amazons. I've read it. The sixth issue just came out this past Wednesday, which was June 20th, perhaps. Sounds about right. Or 19th, one of them dates. But it just came out, and it's fine. It's fine. So maybe wait for the trade paperback, possibly. I don't know. But it's fine. But I just couldn't help, like, y'all couldn't, just not one Black woman was available, which made me actually think of Alien Defiance and also Motor Crush. Two books that star a Black woman, and there are no Black women present in any way, shape, or form in the creative team. So that got me to thinking, like, while I do like those books, there are moments where I'm reading and I'm just like, this probably could be a touch better if there was a Black woman anywhere in the vicinity. And this is not saying that only Black women can write Black women, but I don't know, sometimes for some, if it's integral to the character, then a Black woman should be present. And I'm just wondering in the case of Domino from Motor Crush, and also Zola Hendrix from Alien Defiance, you know, how much richer would their stories be if there was some type of input from a Black woman? Because, you know, you have one woman who is, you know, a Marine who is dealing with a disability, actually, after being injured. And, you know, there are hints of, there are many intersectionalities that she would have to deal with, or she would have, I should say. You know, Black woman, she is also disabled. So I just sometimes I think about that, like, you know, because you don't want to say like only this person can write only this person, because no, that's not entirely true. But sometimes I just wonder, like, if it's integral to the character, then yes, you need to get who you need to get for that. But sometimes I just wonder if some of these stories would be a lot more richer if that voice was behind that particular character. But no, I've read some stories that, you know, the character, the person writing them is not reflective of the person that is writing them. And it's been good, but it's just something that, as a Black woman, just something that I'm always constantly, it pops up from time to time. I'm just keeping it real. It really does. But the reason why, you know, DC just totally dismissing the fact that Black women exist is just, that just stands out a little bit more, because I don't know, because, like, their roster, it's a little void of some melanin. And again, you can tweet me with the handful of folks that you can find, but that just further proves the point, and that's not okay. But it's DC, it's Marvel. I understand we can't expect much, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, I don't understand what asking these questions and, you know, saying, like, what the hell are y'all doing? What does that hurt? Doesn't hurt anything, because they're still gonna do what they're gonna do, and I'm still gonna spend my coins where I want to spend them. So it is what it is. All right, well, I talked about that way longer than I actually expected to talk about that. So I'm actually gonna wrap it up with talking about Tanika Stott's Love Circus, which is a webcomic. And I'm bringing this up because it is Pride Month is coming to an end, and I really, really hope that you know, it's been a great Pride Month. I really do hope that it's been one for everyone that's celebrating as a person who is queer or trans. I really do hope you've had a phenomenal Pride Month, and also for folks that actually do what they should be doing as allies. I really hope, you know, you've been listening to everyone that's part of the LGBTQIA communities and listening to them and what they have to say, and doing better at listening, like shutting up and listening. I've been trying to do my best in shutting up and listening and just pretty much boosting those voices the best that I can. So I really hope you've done that. And if you haven't already, you should really check out Megasheen, because Nick and also Victor are not only hilarious, but they're informative, and you're getting a different perspective on geekness from them, because they're two queer Black men. So you definitely should check out that podcast. But back to Miss Tanika Stott's Love Circus. It's a futuristic webcomic, that's how I'm summing it up, that's centered around a Black woman with a really dope ass robotic leg. And as a joke, I'm taking it, her friends took it as a joke, or they're playing a joke on her, gave her a love robot. She was drunk one night and she kind of said she wanted one, and they got her one. So she's just pretty much been dealing with this robot the entire time. And it's smart, it's hilarious, and it's cute, and it's like really worth your time. Also, it's free, so you should check it out. You can check it out at lovecircus.com. So yeah, that's, I'm just tripping off Marvel, like, really coming out and saying it with their chest that they're just really going to change the comic, the comic game. And it's just like, phenomenal. Just, it's phenomenal.
You know you won't make it until October. You need your Mr. Robot fix now. The Unmasked Podcast is here to talk about everything Mr. Robot. starting with the Season 2 rewatch this summer. New episodes weekly. Don't wait for Season 3. A part of the Brothers Comic Podcast family, available on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
All right, so I started watching Glow on, what was it, Friday? As if it came just recently. I watched the first episode at work and just instantly I was just like, so Pepper or Piper in the 80s? So Glow, I know I've learned it was a show in the 80s. I'm sorry, I was born in 88, so I'm not going to act and sit and pretend as though I knew that, and I did not, sorry. But there's a Netflix show called Glow, I guess, that is based off of that show from the 80s. And I think I binged maybe four episodes. Cause I watched another episode that Saturday. I watched two on Friday and I watched like four Saturday night. And I'm just keeping it real. Like, it just felt like Orange is the New Black, but with wrestling. Yeah. And I'm not surprised because it's the same team that brought us Orange is New Black, brought us Glow. So it was only a matter of time before it was like going to start feeling that way. And as Shannon from Nerds of Prey asked earlier on this day in a Twitter thread, you know, there's just something about racial commentary written by all white writers' rooms. And I'll just finish her thought. It's tired. It's very tired. The fuck are y'all doing? Like, why? Like, it's 2017. Like, stop doing that shit. Like, get some people of color in that room to lend to your racial commentary, because it's just y'all just tired. Like, just, it's 2017. Like, figure it out. It's tired. So if for better stories, for better commentary, get some people of color in your writer's room, for the love of God. I'm begging you. You know, I'm not begging you, but do it. Just go ahead. It's quite easy. It's not difficult. It's not. In fact, I feel like it's probably more difficult to not be inclusive. But hey, I mean, you could put the characters, you know, diversity on the screen, but you know, it's gonna fall flat on its face unless there is strong foundation of diversity behind the screen. But y'all ain't learned that yet. But hopefully one day you will. Transformers 5. I was supposed to see that this weekend, but the Lord intervened and it didn't happen. And why did I want to see it? I don't know. Because if I don't see it in theater, I'm just not going to see it at all. And yeah, this is probably a movie that I can probably live my life just fine, never ever seen. But I watch Resident Evil. I've gone and I've seen all those movies at the theater. Also, they are bad. I get that, but I like them. So it is what it is. And Transformers, while I don't like the movies, the CGI porn is there. And although it does get kind of bad sometimes because they do, like Michael Bay, movies could be so much better or a lot more memorable if instead of giving us 200 different sequences of seeing the robots transform, trans back, and do everything else, you gave us like maybe, I don't know, at the very least, or the very most I should say, maybe 7, and maybe that's too much, because it'd be a lot more memorable, right? So anyway, it's CGI porn. And yeah, if I don't see it in a theater, then I don't want to see that on my, I don't want to see that on a TV screen. Like, even if it's a 50 inch, even if it's a 60 inch, I don't want to see that shit on a TV screen because it's going to hurt my eyes and I feel like I'm going to get a nosebleed. So next weekend, I will attempt to see Transformers during matinee for $5 because that's all it's worth. A lot of movies, actually, the only movie that we've actually gone to see and actually paid full price for is Get Out. And that was actually worth it. So I, you know, in this economy, look, matinee or nothing. in this economy, it's too hard to be playing around with folks. In this economy, it's too much to be wasting money on movies. It's too much to be wasting money on things like comics that are poorly written. It's just, and just supporting them just because out of fear that you just won't get any more representation. No, fuck that. In this economy, it's just, you don't, it's little room for error. Like, you need to hold on to your money. And this, I mean, there needs to be a shirt that just says, in this economy, I think the fuck not. Copyright. So if I see that shirt going around somewhere, I'm going to call your ass. But no, in this economy, I think the fuck not. That's it. So if I get a chance to see Transformers 5, fine. I read an article, I think it was on NBC News, one of something, I don't know, but the article pretty much, you know, told us why Transformers movies keeps getting, why they keep getting made, and I'm pretty sure somebody's probably putting this in their back pocket, but it's because of international sales. No shit. And somebody would be real quick, will be real quick to tell you that on Twitter that these movies are made because they do well internationally. So it doesn't really matter that they didn't do all that well in the States. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, a Transformer Michael Bay truther will tell you in a heartbeat that stop hating. Hate is going to hate. This movie does well over internationally. And that's all that matters. And just like, okay, well, whatever. I mean, hey. You like it? You like it? I love it. Queen Sugar is back, and also so is Power. And I tried my damnedest to go back and watch, is it Power Season 3? Are we on 3 or 4? I think we're on 3. Oh, on 4. So I think it's Power Season 3. And like maybe 5 minutes in, Ghost and Angela were going at it. And I don't need to see them have sex every single episode. Sometimes it's once, sometimes it's twice an episode. I just don't. Like, it was really cool the first season. The second season, I was like, okay. Third season, I was just like, you know, gee golly whiz. For real, y'all? And I'm pretty sure, and he's in jail. Well, you know what? I might watch season 4 just because his ass is in jail. So, and I don't think he has any conjugal visits. So there's a good chance that maybe Tasha be getting it cracking. In that case, then I'll watch. So maybe I'll watch Power. But Power is back. Queen Sugar is back. I've not watched the 2 episodes that are out because I don't have cable. And the person who was my source for the OWN app, they also no longer have cable. So I got to find another source so that I can watch Queen Sugar. But I'm pretty sure it might be available other ways. But y'all hear me say that. American Gods season finale. So my thoughts on season 1 of American Gods is fine. I enjoyed it for the most part. Someone asked me how I felt about the depiction of Bilquis or the handling of Bilquis for season 1. And I'm kind of indifferent because one, you know, she really didn't have that much to do in the book. She actually, spoiler alert, dies in the book. So that hasn't happened yet in the show. So that's a plus. The first 2 episodes, we got a Bilquis pretty much of her in her this room and pretty much snatching all the lives and everybody going into her galaxy vagina to live, which is fine. And then we got a little glimpse of her visiting her, I guess what stuff that was hers that was on display in the museum. That I really enjoy because that's actually something more for the character. Then we only had Jack Diddley Squat from Bilquis until the last episode. But we did get to episodes centered around the dead wife. And that one episode, I really don't even remember it. All I remember is saying to myself, wow, this opening sequence is really, really long. Why has this not ended yet? And to be quite honest, it was just like a story in white women's white privilege. So there's that. This is a story of the woman who was in Europe, stealing shit, then came to the United States and still prospered. So, right. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. But Bilka's finally came back in the last episode, and we got way, way, way more. We actually got a backstory narrated by the lovely Orlando Jones, and that I was here for. But I was like, maybe y'all could have did that episode 3, but whatever. That's fine. I'm happy y'all finally doing it. And we get some backstory, and we actually, you know, get to learn who Bilquis is more than just, you know, sucking people into her galaxy vagina, which also I'm here for. So I don't know how I feel yet, to be very honest. Like, I guess, like I said, for the handling of her in season 1, I'm on the fence. I don't really know, because honestly, I was just surprised because she doesn't live that long in the book, and we really don't get that much of her in the book, and we get more of her in the show than we do in the book. So for that, yes, but, you know, we'll see season 2. I think I seen Brian Fuller tweet out that Bilquis was really going to come into her own in season 2. So, like, I screenshotted that. So I really hope that that happens, because if not, you know, ain't nothing to pull the plug on the show, because there's a lot of TV. There's a lot of TV on, so I can move on to the next one easily. But also, Ricky Whittle is really nice to look at, so don't quote me on that. All right, so Spider-Man hype is getting real. Apparently, people have seen it. They got to see it recently. I don't know. I guess the embargo has been lifted. And I'm pretty much everybody orgasmed what it sounded like on Twitter from the Spider-Man movie. And I'm unmoved just because this is the 5011th one. It's the 5011th Peter Parker. But this is pretty much Miles Morales's, you know, story beats and everything hijacked. And please don't be foolish. You know, it's real easy to look at the trailer and, like, see that. So don't be foolish and say, like, how is that? People have wrote pieces on this. People have said this repeatedly. And also, like, it's, like, dead ass in the trailer. So, but, you know, please do it if you want to. But also, they just cast, Donald Glover is playing Aaron, can't think of his last name, who's the Prowler, who is Miles's uncle. So, right. And I think I read one review where the person was pretty much like, this is people of color featuring Spider-Man. So it's just kind of like, so y'all couldn't just give us Miles? And the argument is, well, they haven't gotten a Spider-Man movie correct, so we don't want them jacking up Miles. But also, like, I'm fucking tired of seeing Peter Parker. So even if they would have jacked up Miles, which streets would riot at the same time, it would have been much better than seeing Peter Parker for the billionth time. But here we are. So, yeah, I'm pretty much seeing that movie off the strength of Zendaya, to be very, very honest. Also, matinee. So, if I can catch the storm matinee, then I will be seeing it. If not, then Netflix it is. I guess kind of, no, not really last but not least, but Claws. It comes on TNT. It's starring Niecy Nash. Karrueche is actually in this. And Karrueche is actually pretty decent, and if not good, in this show. And it's been a pleasant surprise. Like, it was nothing like I thought it was going to be. I was just like, wow, nail shop, black women, Asian women. Like, what are we doing here? But it's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like Breaking Bad. And I really hope I'm, by saying that, like, I'm really not trying to downplay Claws at all, but no, like, it's making me think of Breaking Bad in some regards, but better. And the fact, because Niecy Nash is there, so I mean, why would you not want to watch something with Niecy Nash? So Claws, if you have not checked it out, I do think it's probably worth your time. Like, it's funny, but it's also suspenseful, and it's good. It's on TNT. It's the summertime, so you need to watch it. Because Karrueche is actually, again, surprisingly decent, if not good, in this show. The Iron Fist recaps are finally done. Those are being done on Patreon, and I'll be releasing those episodes to everybody in the next couple of weeks. I mean, what a horrible, 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 horrible series. Like, it was really, really bad. Like, it was bad. Like, I don't even know. To sum the series up, episode 13, there is a point where Danny swings through the window and punches through it. And I don't even know like how that even came about. I don't even know why he went that route. Also, you can see strings attached to him. You know, I was so lost. I just thought that it was like some construction strings or something. I was like, that doesn't really make any sense. Also, they don't look like that. So to sum it like that, that scene in itself just sums up the entire series. And I just like, what? How terrible. So let me, I'm just going to leave it at that because I don't want to get my blood pressure up because it was just really bad. So yeah, guys, that's it. San Diego Comic-Con is coming up very soon. Like soon. I feel like sometime in the next few weeks, a couple weeks or a week soon. So I'll definitely be coming back and giving you guys some info on that. Maybe we'll get some more Black Panther stuff. Hopefully. I've been looking for a Dora Milaje tank top to wear to CrossFit. I have not come across that yet. So please, if anybody is listening right now and you can figure that out, please. I have the money for it. You can at me directly with it and I will purchase it from you within reason. But I will purchase it from you because I really want a Dora Milaje tank for CrossFit. Like, yeah, everything else, like Wonder Woman, Supergirl, all that. Like, give me a Dora Milaje tank. I'll even take a Storm tank. In fact, Storm, Monica Rambeau, Dora Milaje, Vixen, Amanda Waller, whomever you can put on a tank top, I will purchase it from you because I really would like that for CrossFit. So bless ahead of time. And I guess I'll just, you know, a reminder to myself and also to you all. I think I'm going to be taking a podcast break very soon, just for the summertime, just because I'm doing a million of them. And also, you know, just sometimes just kind of revamp, retool and get some things together. I've been really playing around with the idea of just a short little thing, Mommy Chronicles, because you guys might be familiar with me talking about my son on Twitter, aka Tyzilla, aka Teeves, formerly known as Two Teeves. So I really would like to, you know, get something in the works with that because I have stories for days. So I would like to incorporate that somehow into the show or maybe possibly make it its own small little thing. But I'll keep you guys up to date on that. But in the meantime, until San Diego Comic-Con, and hopefully I'm pretty sure more crazy stuff is going to happen because I didn't forget to mention. I think I blocked it out of my mind. But Bendis was being Bendis on the latest issue of Ironheart. So have fun reading that. But yeah. So until next time, thank you guys so much for joining me. If you haven't already, please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes. It helps my visibility. And if you are tweeting along while you're listening to this, there is a hashtag that, wow, I gotta change, but the hashtag, because it just makes life a lot more easier. Just the Lemonade Podcast, just to make everybody's life easy. So you could definitely tweet the show using the hashtag, and I will try my best to follow and retweet. And just thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll catch you later.